Welcome to another edition of The Tech Teachers. I'm Ray.
I'm Holly.
I'm a physics teacher.
And I teach Spanish.
And this is a podcast that focuses on technology and a little bit of education, and as often as possible, the overlapping of the two. Little update on we're going into our fifth week?
Fifth full week of teaching.
Full week of our both of our first years of teaching. And this week I'll be going into my third 6-day week because of tennis tournaments, and this coming Saturday I've got homecoming float. So
yay.
And I've been basically working 6 days a week. What about you? How's your
good
teaching going?
Yeah, I have three preps, so it's a lot of work. And then I also starting up Spanish club this coming week.
How many kids do you expect in that?
I don't know. I'm a little scared. A lot of people seem very interested in it, so I don't know how many we're going to have. But I mean, I want a lot. I just don't want it to be too much.
Yeah, I've organized a science club. We've elected officers and all that, or science and technology club officers and all that. And now I'm up over 20, I think. So it's growing very quickly, and we haven't really even done anything yet besides have some short 5-minute meetings.
Right.
So I'm excited about that.
Okay.
We're going to do the vidcast as long as I get approval and all that. The kids are really excited about it. I was surprised. I have at least 5 or 6 kids that want to be the person on the camera, which I was glad to see.
How fun.
Yes. Cool. Fun stuff. All right. First up, we're going to continue to try to do just the one topic in each. We'll probably get a little off topic from time to time, but try to keep the time down a little bit. Our topic in technology today is what, Holly?
Well, we've created a delicious bookmarks page for all of our listeners so we can share with each other. Instead of just doing our show notes, well, we're still going to keep that up, our show notes on Delicious. We also wanted a place where everybody could share ideas and links. Our links in the Delicious.
So links related to either, you know, learning about technology or technology in general, and especially the education stuff.
Yes.
That ties into the technology.
Right, because a lot of our listeners are teachers.
Yes.
So
and
we
thought,
want to share.
Yep, and instead of just having comments on the blog, we thought this would be a real easy way for everybody to see what resources that other teachers have, that our listeners have, and it'll be one place to get them. So you won't have to sift through 50 comments. Well, we don't have that many comments anyway, but you won't have to sift through a lot of comments.
Yeah.
You can just look at the tags and go to the place where you want.
Where you're interested in.
What you're interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully
so
it'll grow. So even like physics teachers might all have one for physics and that kind of thing.
Yeah, because you can tag whatever.
Right.
So you can just look in the appropriate tag.
Yeah. And Spanish teachers too, please.
So we're going to give out the information. We'll talk a little bit. Holly will talk to you a little bit how to do it, the instructions. But she actually set it up. I've used Delicious before too, but thank you, Holly.
No problem.
The username is TTTShare, S-H-A-R-E. So that's the login over at Delicious. And then the password is the Tech Teachers. So everybody out there that's listening can add links to this, and we encourage you to do that.
Right. So you would just go to Delicious / TTTShare.
And why don't you, the Delicious, they can go check out our blog, but also just go ahead and tell them exactly how to do
what
this. The web address is.
Okay.
Do you have it up there? I have it here if you don't.
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, first of all, just to view the bookmarks alone, just if you want to look at them, you could go to Delicious, which is D-E-L dot I-C-I-O dot U-S / TTTShare. And that would let you view all the bookmarks that people have posted.
Without logging in or anything.
Right, without logging in.
You
so you're not
you
going to contribute or anything. You just want to look.
You just want to look at them, yeah.
Right.
Right now there's only one up there, our show.
Yeah. That was the first one. then, if you wanted to contribute bookmarks, you would actually just go to Delicious / login and type in the username, which is TTTShare, and then type in the password, the Tech Teachers.
Yep.
Okay. And then that would take you to the About page. From that main page there, then, you can always just post a link by clicking on Post at the top right hand of the page.
But there's an easier way.
But there is an easier way, which I would recommend. I have a few Delicious accounts. This is what I do. You can add a bookmarklet to your browser, and it'll allow you to bookmark any page you're viewing simply by clicking on a button in your browser.
So you're at... let's see, you're at Google Earth or Google Maps or something or whatever, CNN.com,
right.
You found an article you like. you just click one button and you're already logged in, and boom, it's going to be on the Delicious site for everybody to take a look at.
Right.
And you'll have to pick the tags, but it's one click.
That's right up in your browser. I mean, if you just install the bookmarklet. If you don't want to do that, of course, just click post in the upper right-hand corner, and that would be easy too. But once you do that, though, you'd have to type in the URL if you click post, or the web address. And then you have to type in a short description. This is just if you're clicking post, not the bookmarklets.
Okay, yeah, the bookmarklets kind of is just
the
one
bookmarklet
click.
Is so much simpler.
Yeah, really simple.
But if you just install that, it's a lot more simple.
It's not even really an install. You might have to allow cookies, but that's about it.
Right.
Yeah, and there's instructions when, like you said, when you log
right
in.
On the about page. Yep. So simple.
Yeah,
they're like four
so
steps.
So do that.
Do that. You don't even want to go into the post.
No, just do that.
Okay.
It's so much simpler.
I want to explain tags though.
Okay.
Because this is something that's a little different about Delicious. You will have to put in tags for whatever link you have, and those are just one word descriptors that you can assign
to
a bookmark. Yeah. And you can do more than one tag for each one. In
so
fact,
do
you
it.
Should.
Yes.
Because, you know, you just that's how it's organized. You know what I'm saying? So this is an interesting way of organizing all the links.
Yeah, so somebody that's looking for something in physics, you might find a website that's related to physics and to technology.
So it'll
give it both tags.
Yeah, it'll appear in multiple categories.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Feel free to give many tags, and you can make up your own, but it will also suggest one.
Right.
So if you go to a website that other people have bookmarked in Delicious, it'll suggest the tags that other people have attached. But you can come up with your own. They can be whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I just am excited about that because it, you know, teachers need to share, and so I think this will be a fun way for our listeners to do that. So.
I've been using this for resources for physics, and I've talked about it on the show before, but I think we need to get our listeners involved.
Yeah.
Find out what sites they're seeing, and this is the easiest
yes.
way to do that, as opposed to
Absolutely.
Going through lots and lots of emails and comments.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, keep the feedback coming. Thank you. We're slowly catching up to email now.
Right. Sorry, a little behind, but
that's it on the tech side.
Right.
On the education side, we want to talk about motivation and a couple other things. So, Holly, you want to get us started?
I don't know.
How do we want to start?
This is kind of a big area. We were already debating it before. Ray's just like, let's just start recording.
Yeah, I said, save it for the podcast.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so motivating your students. One of the things you were mentioning is that you think the students should have to want to be in your classroom.
That's one of the big things that was said to me after a couple weeks of teaching was that somebody mentioned it. We had one of our many meetings and about how the kids, you know, when you leave there, do the kids want to come back the next
yes.
day? And that's actually become a goal of mine, except for maybe on test day, you know, because who wants to be there when you're taking a test for 90 minutes or an hour or whatever. But aside from test day, I kind of, that's my goal, is that the kids should want to come back. There should be some reason.
Yes.
Something in that 90 minutes should make them want to come back the next day. Mm-hmm. I hope.
Well, that's
ideal.
That's definitely a huge goal of mine. However, in the area of Spanish, there are a lot of students that don't want to be there. Simply.
Hey, physics.
No. But no. Listen, you remember when you taught math to, you taught what, math one, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Was that not a different crowd than what you have now? Because
yes.
I think a lot of physics students are, you know, they want to be there already. A lot of them do. Physics is difficult. I'm not saying that.
A lot of them do.
Whereas in Spanish, it's like they feel like they need a requirement of foreign language to get into university, and many times they do. And so that's why they're there.
Of course. Yeah, which is an elective too, but yeah.
Right. It is an elective. But I don't know. It's harder, I think, to get students interested. I totally agree with you, though, that you should want them, you know, you should have them want to be there and want to come back.
One of the things I think, in addition to them wanting to be there, I've heard teachers say, you know, we're not there to entertain or things like that. I think sometimes I am there to entertain
Absolutely.
A little bit.
I agree.
I think if the kid isn't interested, I mean, entertainment is really, you're entertained when you're interested in something. So I think in that effect, it shouldn't just be entertainment for the sake of the kid is, you know, being entertained.
It doesn't have to be meaningless.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. I was fumbling with my words
there.
They should be interested. They should
yes.
be engaged. And I think that sometimes goes along with entertainment. Sometimes you need a little bit of pizzazz, some bells and whistles. You need to put on a bit of a show to keep the kids awake and with you. And especially if you're doing, you know, teacher-led instruction, like you're you're up there, you can't just, you know, be monotone and dribble, you know, drown on forever and write on the overhead and just blah, 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 yes. blah, blah. I mean, that's the only person that's going to learn from that is somebody that's extremely self-motivated mm-hmm. and really loves the material. And even then they might tune you out.
Yeah.
So you can't do that. You got to avoid that at all costs. Mm-hmm. So that's something else I strive to do is at least occasionally spice it up with something like I, you know, made a mess with a demo where I dropped a Diet Coke bottle filled with water with a hole in it. Water went all over the place and, you know, they loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it. So something memorable. And that's the other thing is that if you're entertaining, usually if you're entertaining and you're connecting it to what you're learning about,
mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, cracking jokes, but connecting it to the learning, they're more likely to remember it.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you do something neat that is entertaining, they're going to make connections. It's going to be memorable. And then they're going to get on the test and they're going to remember that demo.
Right.
And they're going to think, oh, Miss did this. I remember how that works. I can, they can, you know, something meaningful that they can actually remember as opposed to the boy, you know, the typical problem where the boy is pushing the crate, yada, 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 mm-hmm. you know, make it more interesting, spice right. it up a little bit so that they can remember it when they get to, you know, test day.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you do any of that? You put the kids in the your material or anything? Or?
I do. I might.
If or yourself. I put myself in it a lot.
Yeah. Or if I'm using it, if I'm doing an example, I might be like, so Bailey, what'd you have for dinner last night? You know, and
yeah.
then I'll put that in the example or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But. I do a lot of that. I like that. I yeah. think it kind of wakes them up. And it, and, you know, if it's a student that's not always engaged, sometimes they see they're in the problem. They're,
yeah.
they always remember that problem they're in. That's what mm-hmm. I found. They always remember the problem
that's true.
They're in.
Yeah.
Like back in my math class, I had somebody that wasn't particularly fond of math. Now, this might be bad. This might be like, you know, reinforcing negative images about math or whatever. But I had her launching her calculator out of a cannon, you know. So, you know, so-and-so got frustrated with math last night and decided
yeah.
she's going to, it was projectile problem in math. And
then no, we did projectile that's funny. There's and, nothing wrong
and with
that.
They got a
that.
Kick out, and they got a
funny.
Kick out of
yeah.
it. And that student yeah. remembered that problem and
personalizing,
on the test got
yeah.
it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was like, all
yeah.
right, you know,
that's
similar
fun.
Problem.
I agree. So I do strive to be fun. That's true.
Yeah.
Definitely. What about praise and motivation?
Yeah, this is where we got into the debate.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I read it, but probably in one of my education classes or maybe in the Harry K. Wong book about
okay.
or a sports book. It might have been about how to get people to improve sports. That, you know, initially when someone does something right the first couple times, you got to let them know. You got to say,
mm-hmm.
good job, you did that right the first couple times to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can't just stay and it can't just disappear. It's got to be kind of like once every so many times you just randomly throw in a good job to let them
okay.
know they're still doing it right. But if you do it every single time, it loses all its importance. So that idea of the first five times, and that was just an example, first five times, let's say I'm coaching tennis. The first five times somebody hits a good forehand, I'll say, good forehand, good forehand, good forehand, good forehand. But then when they, you know, the next time they hit it, I don't need to keep saying it. They know. They felt it. They know they're doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Now maybe the sixth time when they hit an especially good one, I'll say, all right, there you go. That was even better. That was a great one, you know, and then later down the line, say another one, but not every
okay.
single time.
So you're kind of talking about pushing them to move on. Is that what you're getting at? I mean,
get them to keep to improving. Like, yeah,
right.
you don't want to just stop and settle for what, you know, there's
I
that.
I don't know. I guess I would assume that you do that naturally anyways with your material. I just feel like praise should be, I mean, you should never praise, you know, things that aren't correct. You know, you could praise effort and that.
Oh yeah,
sort of
I praise effort
but
every once in a while.
I don't see anything wrong with praising.
Well, I just don't. I don't want to praise too much to make it meaningless. Because if you
right.
write, you know, excellent at the top of a kid's every single paper, even if the kids
oh,
get
100%, no,
even if the kids
yeah.
get 100% every single time, you don't want to write excellent every single time. I try to be more specific and circle the certain area that I thought was, you know, good. Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on my big tests, I let them know when I pass it back, I consider this good or I consider this really good. You know, like what score corresponds
yeah.
to that. But for each kid, it's kind of different. So you got to kind of mix it up.
So
especially
what about,
as you get to know the student and
what about
their
when
ability.
A student gives an incorrect answer? Then
depends on
how
the
do you
student,
deal with
but
that?
Sometimes, I mean, recently I was like, somebody was asking a question about something. Now, I found out later they were just trying to fill time. But they asked a question about something on a quiz that I had graded. And, you know, they had said the right answer, but then it kept on going and had said something that was wrong. And it was really wrong. And I told them, I said, you know, I said, that's really wrong. I'm like, let's look at why. I'm like, I'm like, you would have been fine if you just stopped here. You wouldn't have lost any points. But you kept on rambling and you said something that was so horrible, I had to take off points. You know,
ouch.
It wasn't crossed out. So
I don't know.
So I went under the board and I showed them what was going on. I asked them a couple questions and then they were like, oh, yeah, duh. You know, like they realized it. Now, I wouldn't do that with every student.
It depends on the
student. That would break some
students
down into tears.
Big time. Yeah.
So I was, you know, I was taking a little bit of a chance, but. At the same time, I wasn't negative about it. I wasn't like, you're
That's
wrong,
what I was gonna
you're
say.
Stupid. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't saying that.
That's what I was going to say.
I was just like, you're really wrong, you know, like, and I said it with a smile, like, you know, like, okay, let's, you know, this is something to be excited about that you're really wrong. Let's go look at why. You know, it was the spin I put on it. Now, initially, they were, I could tell they were a little, but then once they saw where I was going with it, they didn't mind at all as far as I could tell.
I see what you're saying. But the thing, where I said earlier that praise should be abundant, I guess I didn't really mean that. I mean positivity should be abundant.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I think there's a place for being negative because kids need to be able to hear that they're wrong and accept that you can't sugarcoat everything.
No, I'm not saying sugarcoat. I'm saying when they're wrong, it's okay to be wrong.
Oh,
In fact, I want you to try rather than not, you know, not respond at all.
Well,
I just think your classroom environment should be a positive one.
Yes, that goes
never,
into the being wanting to
ever.
Be there. They should want to be in the room, not just come back to class, but be in the room.
But I don't ever want them to feel scared to answer because I'm going to rip them apart or, you know.
Well,
or if you're wrong, is that okay? Yes, it's wrong. In fact, that's part of learning.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
That's
what
I want
them to
know.
Oh, yeah, I model that all the time. I make little mistakes here and there all the time. Every once in a while, I make a big mistake, you know.
Right.
And some kids are shocked when that happens. They're just like, oh, you know.
I love when teachers correct me. I think that is awesome.
I think a lot of them are used to the teacher being like the wealth of knowledge where they pretend like they know it all. And I don't pretend like I know it all.
Oh, no.
No, I'll let them know what I'm like. I don't know. I'm like, I'm not sure. Or let's make this assumption when we do this problem. You know, I'm not, you know, kind of stuff like that. Things that
or
I
let me look
do.
That up for you, or here's a way that we can find out, or what do you know, something like that.
Yeah, but I had a teacher actually in high school who would make a big deal about when you were wrong. In fact, he would go, not quite like I did, but he would. It was like a catchphrase of his: "You are wrong," you know, and he would yell it.
But was it kind of funny?
Okay.
Well, see, that's a positive thing. Then
it diffused the.
You can say you're wrong in a positive manner. Yes.
Yet he could still call you out and say you were wrong.
Right.
And I like that. Now I haven't done that yet, but that's something I might eventually work in. I mean, I like the idea of. You and other students would start to do it when I was in high school as well. We'd tell each other, no, you are wrong, you know, because you should be able to go up to somebody, especially in science, and say, you know what, that's horrible. That's way, way off, you know.
Right.
We need to fix that. You know, this is why you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to do it in a nice manner.
That's, again, the same thing.
And
should be able to say you're wrong, but it should be in a positive manner.
And I'm very big on professionalism in my classroom. We're not going to start, you know, calling people names or stupid or anything like that.
Right.
I would not stand for that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, you have to do it in the right way. But I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, looking at somebody's work and saying that's just awful.
You know?
You're just, where are you? What are you thinking? We need to, there's something horribly wrong here. You know, you've got a big misconception. We need to fix it. Mm-hmm. So
what about an individual student that is just not motivated at all in your class? Do you have anything you do?
Varies on the student. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. Other than I found that I try to talk to them outside of class, and it helps a lot because they kind of sometimes they unload a little bit and say, oh, I just didn't get this, or this frustrates me, that kind of thing. And then they're better. I think sometimes if they can just talk to you and express to you that they're frustrated, things go better than the next day.
I've done that as well, and it's worked on some kids, but there are some kids right now, very few, but some that I'm still struggling with how to motivate them.
Yeah,
I saw their grade cards and doesn't seem like they're motivated in any of their classes, but.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of that. I got a lot of the kids that do are there.
That's what I'm saying.
They're at least motivated by their grade.
Your crowd's a little bit different,
yeah.
I think, than mine, but I don't know. Something I'll think about. Anybody has a suggestion that
for the ones that don't respond to that? Because that's fixed all my problems, to be honest, as far as I can tell, is that even after a tough test that someone didn't get done with, I talked to them in the hallway and they unload a little bit, and then they seem like they're almost happy, you know, like, 'cause they know that I, you know, that I care and that I understand and I've been there and that kind of thing.
Oh, that
and,
goes know, a long way. Yes. I always try that first, but with some of them, it's not. It's
nice
not
having
working.
Only three blocks because then I don't have as many kids so that I can hunt down the, you know, three or four that I need to, you know, after school or whatever. And once tennis ends, I'll have even more time to, you know, you know, after school, before school and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of motivation. I mean, there's so much you can do.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing to throw up on the Delicious account, sites that deal with motivation or, you know, maybe things to get kids interested in learning or whatever you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Tying back into the technology. Anything you got up there, websites that relate to this or anything else in education, go ahead and start throwing stuff up there. Just tag it. Please tag it. Mm-hmm. Anything else on the tech or the ed?
I don't think so.
Okay. I still want an iPod Nano. I've now seen Kevin Rose of Dignation did a little release of like 10 minutes of him taking apart and showing it next to the iPod Shuffle, which I have an iPod Shuffle and love it. Mainly as a backup device. Occasionally I listen to podcasts on it. But it's so small. Mm-hmm. Can you believe how small it is? Thinner than the Shuffle. And it only looks like it's maybe like twice as wide with a color screen.
I don't think the price is too bad either.
No, it's what, I mean, I think if you're a teacher, you can go to the Apple. Many of you may not know this. Actually, it's something we should bring up. If you're a teacher, you can go to the Apple website and get a discount on all their products. Now, you can only buy like one or two of each thing. You can't go buy 10 iPod Shuffles or 10 iPod Nanos.
How much was the discount?
Instead of paying $250 for the 4 GB iPod Nano, I believe it is $220.
Okay.
So I think it's a $30 discount. Okay. So $220 for 4 gigs of storage. You know, a flash based player.
There's a 2 gig one too, isn't
there? There's a 2 gig one as well. But why would you buy a 2 gig one for $50 more? As many people have pointed out, you can get. I wasn't even considering the 2 gig one. If I buy one, it'll be the 4 gig.
Twice as much.
Yeah, twice as much storage
for $50.
Yeah, for $50, why not? You know, but. I'm thinking I'm on the verge of buying one now. I'm waiting for another paycheck.
You're gonna buy it.
Yeah, I'm on the verge.
You talk about it practically every day. Well,
I want it for podcasts because it'll be so easy to put a ton of podcasts on there and quickly get to them. With the Shuffle, it's a bit of a pain to get to the one I want to. It's fine for a commute. It's perfect. The Shuffle is perfect for going back and forth to work because you don't have time to listen to multiples. But you know, it'd be nice on some longer bus rides for tennis or that kind of thing.
Okay.
For to have it. You know, and just it's cool. It looks neat.
Yeah.
It looks it is slick and it is little. Mm-hmm. Anybody out there that's got one, drop me an email, tell me what you think. I mean, if you bought one, you probably like it, but I went to Target to try to see if I could get my hands on one just to take a look if they had a demo.
They
don't. And you know what was interesting? They were sold out of the minis in a lot of the colors. So if you didn't know, the minis being discontinued. So I think people are running out and buying their favorite color mini before they're all gone. So if you want like a green apple
or whatever.
What
would be the advantage of getting a mini over the...
Well, no, people... First of all, they're cheaper.
Okay.
For the same amount of storage, they're cheaper.
How much are they?
I don't remember the price range, but they're cheaper and you can get them bigger for more storage.
Oh.
So you can get, I think, a 6 GB mini. I'm sure if we're wrong, somebody will email us and let us know. But... But yeah, you can get in the different colors. So people that like the fashion of the mini, but I can't imagine why you'd buy one now with the Nano unless you're just a freak for certain colors and stuff like that.
Okay.
And the nice thing, the best thing about the iPod players, their functionality doesn't quite have all the bells and whistles as some of these others, but the sleekness and the design and the accessories. That's why I bought an iPod Shuffle. There were other thumb drive players out there or flash-based players out there that were probably better than the Shuffle, but... Accessories like this waterproof case or in the case of the Nano, some of the stuff that'll be coming out. I mean, eventually they'll have line and recording and all that. But the nice cases. I mean, just the cases alone, you've got tons to pick from.
Right.
You know, you want to protect your electronics. I mean, it's nice to have something that's well supported that everybody's got. And then the other big thing is when the battery dies on the Nano, I've already seen how to take one apart now. So it'll be able to replace. And because it's popular... It'll, you know, their batteries will be cheaper and plentiful, and you'll be able to get them. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it won't be a big deal to get a replacement battery when your battery bot dies in your Nano, just like the iPods. Whereas you buy some obscure, you know, maybe not a couple years from now, will you be able to find parts for it? So.
Okay. Yeah.
Enough on that. We just went like 10 minutes on the iPod Nano.
You just went like 10 minutes on the iPod Nano. I listened.
Let's hope we didn't lose anybody during that time frame.
Well, at least you put it at the end.
Yeah, it's at the end.
I'm sure you'll talk about it next week again.
No, by next week I might have one. I might order one tonight. All right. Let's wrap this up. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Feedback, please keep it coming. And check out our delicious, what's the login again?
It's delicious.com/TTT share.
Yep, and if you want to log in, just go to Delicious website.
But
TTT share, and then the password.
And then the password
is the tech teachers. Yes. And tell your friends, even if they don't listen to the show, go ahead and tell them, use this as a resource. This is open to everybody. Mm-hmm. We're not going to change the password, at least not in the foreseeable future. Thank you for listening again. Until next time.